Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Thank y'all for tuning in to Politics, Religion, and Whiskey, the Josh Terry Podcast, brought to you by Raising Grace Studios. Today, I got my first father and daughter combo in here.
Hey.
I got Matt Pippin and Kayla Pippin, straight from Forsyth and Gray, Georgia.
Straight out of Forsyth.
Yes.
I thought, is it Forsyth that y'all are from, or is it Gray?
It's Forsyth.
Why am I thinking y'all from Gray?
Well,
I don't know.
Oh, you're from Gray. We got some side viewers in here today. And they're from Gray.
I'm a part-time grayer.
Grayer.
my beautiful girlfriend, Taylor, she lives in Gray. So I live in Gray most of the time myself.
I learned my lesson with women from Gray. And my ass ain't going back to Gray. I don't care. When I first moved to Macon a couple years ago.
That might be why they built the bypass.
They needed to. I hopefully you got a good one, but let me tell you, I learned my lesson real quick. One of the first things I got told when I moved to Macon was do not go to Gray. And if she's interested in you, just go ahead and kick yourself in the balls because it'd be better off for you.
Go ahead and jump off a cliff.
Yeah,
you
don't need it. But Matt and Kayla both are musicians. Matt's been in the game for a hot minute and his daughter. Kayla, how old are you?
I am 24.
24. She's just now really getting into it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've only had a few shows, but you're very talented.
I was into it during high school and did a lot of shows during my high school and all that, and right after I graduated. But, I had kids. And then,
hey, it happens to all of us. And Matt, how long have you been in it?
Oh, man, I would guess 30-ish years.
How old are you?
I am 40 soon. I am a whopping 42 years. Don't look a day older than 43 though.
I didn't realize you was that old. I really didn't. I didn't know that.
You know, I get that a lot.
You've had though, like, how did you start off? This is going to be a long one anyway, but let's just go ahead and dive into that so people really know. How did you start off in music?
I got started by my best friend at the time. I mean, he still is. It just we haven't seen each other in years and are unable to communicate at the present time. But a guy named Sean Mettler. I was 10, 11, maybe. Mm-hmm. And Sean and I met, I think, in kindergarten at school in class. And, you know, back then, during the summer especially, you live at your buddy's house, you know, for the summer. Or, you know, you're over there every weekend or he's over at your house or whatever. And Sean, I noticed Sean had an electric guitar. And he rarely, you know, played in front of anybody. So I just asked him about it one day and wound up going to his guitar lessons with him. Down in Macon, It was at Bill Hardin Music, but this was when Bill Hardin Music was on Eisenhower, right by the exit on I-75, beside Carol's Linens. If that anybody remembers that, you know how long ago that's been. But you know, my parents really didn't take it seriously. Well, let me back up a little. One day in particular, I had Sean show me. So I was like, "Man, I want to play the guitar like you're doing." I was like, "Just show me something." And believe it or not, like probably the very first song I learned how to play was "Sweet Child of Mine," Guns N' Roses. Oof. You know, Slash's intro in that song.
It's one of the most famous lyrics ever.
Legendary. Of course, I'm sure it sounded nothing close to that. But I was trying. So I came home and I remembered my dad had a guitar in the closet. Old, like hollow body. Roy
and
Rogers
this is still
looking
kindergarten.
Something. Well, now I'm probably.
I was playing with toys and shit.
Maybe starting middle school.
Okay.
Fifth grade ish. had just hit double digits, you know, in
gotcha.
Age, and thought I knew everything, of course. And so I came home and I started asking my dad. I was like, "Where don't you have a guitar?" He was like, "Yeah, why?" I was like, "I want to show you something." And so he goes into this big spiel how his dad bought him this guitar.
Did your dad play?
No, not a bit.
He just had the guitar.
One bit. he always wanted to, you know, but he you know, married my mom and went to work for Georgia Power and, you know, life happened.
That's what happened.
But I went and got his guitar. I think it had maybe 4 strings on it. And I realized real quick I couldn't play Sweet Child of Mine with 4. Not with those 4 that were missing. And but anyway, I played him something and just, you know, begging for, you know, to take guitar lessons and all this kind of stuff. Of course, you know, I needed a guitar and it had to be an electric one, you know, because Sean had, you know, he had an electric one. And so they were so convinced at how serious I was about this. They let me go to guitar lessons with Sean and just like borrow a guitar.
Yeah.
Because, you know, any 12-year-old that's starting to get into anything, you know, it usually doesn't last. But anyway, I did start taking lessons, and about 2 years from, you know, starting to take lessons, my guitar teacher, you know, told my parents after lessons one day, he was like, "He's got a really good ear. You know, for like I can play
could
something."
You play it by note or by ear?
By ear. It was easier by ear. I learned how to play by reading, you know, notes, but it was always easier for me by ear. And to this day, I mean, we pop on a song right now, and before it's over with.
Literally, that's how me and him practice. I'll tell him a song, and he'll go look it up and listen to it, and then he'll just start strumming. Like, all he has to do is just listen to it.
Some of the best guitar players ever been around couldn't read sheet music.
Could not read a lick.
They can't. Not to speed that story up too much.
No, it's okay.
But you ended up getting to play with Young Guns and everything, right?
I did.
And it wasn't that Jason's like original band, Jason Aldean's original band?
That's right. That's right. I met Jason. He was Jason Williams when I met him.
Crawford County's finest. Were you one of the ones? All right, so you
probably
we might get
so.
Clarification. I had been wanting clarification on this story for a long time. Were you one of the ones when he got pretty much told he wasn't going to be able to play Whiskey River again? Were you
Nashville South? It was Nashville South. It was like the Whiskey River of its day.
Okay. Were you in the band at the time?
Yes.
Okay. What's the story behind that? Like the true enough story to where it doesn't get Jason in trouble if there's anything bad on him or whatever? What's the easiest part of that story to tell?
I really don't remember any definitive thing happening to where it definitely wasn't the case of them not wanting him to play there anymore. He had graduated high school. You know, this is all through my 4 years
of high
school.
Y'all were kind of a rock band too at the time. Like, wasn't it kind of? It wasn't just like straight traditional country, right?
Not really, not at all. Because everybody in that band, with the exception of Jason, literally just came from like a hard rock.
See, that's what band. I've heard so much of the stories from.
Some of the first shows I ever played was with every member of Young Guns minus Jason, but we hadn't met Jason at this time. Yeah. You know, we were in middle school playing honor roll assemblies for the entire school. The first song I ever played live in front of anybody was Paradise City.
Of course it was.
So, okay, the cat's out of the bag. I am or was definitely a Guns N' Roses fan. The original Guns N' Roses.
I'm one of the few that just does not get 90% of 80s rock. I just don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I got buddies that swear by Motley Crue and all that stuff. One out of each one of those band songs I'll jam to, but the rest of them, it's like, this isn't for me. Like, I don't get the hair band. I don't get the hair band stuff.
You know, I guess you just had to be around.
I imagine that's exactly what it had to be.
In that time, you looked at magazines on the shelf, yeah. You saw them. MTV was just really becoming.
Well, it was a popular thing at the time. That's why.
They actually showed videos back then on MTV.
So whenever y'all got hooked up with him, did you know, like, right off the bat, like, this guy's something special, or was he just like, I don't know what this cat is yet? This is like the inside.
It was more like, I don't know what this cat is yet. It's kind of a funny story.
You're not the first person to say that.
Kind of a funny story. The band we had, we were called Young Country, and we were playing pretty much exclusively at this little hotel bar in Perry, Georgia. It was called Cherokee Rose. And somebody from Nashville South came to see us one Saturday night. And when we were done with the show that night, they basically offered us the house gig, which was huge, you know, especially for a 14-year-old. They offered us the gig. Well, what we didn't know was they were firing their band, which if you ever went to Whiskey River, the band that they fired was Hook, Line, and Sinker.
Ah, the house band.
The house band, yeah. So, like, we replaced them. Okay, so one of my best friends ever, a guy named Wes Robinson, who's a great singer, guitar player himself, he was our lead singer. And so they hired us, and we played Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights, which was an ordeal in itself, asking your parents at 14, hey, they want us to play in a bar till 2 a.m. Basically every night of the week. it was one of those deals where our drummer's parents would not even let him play the weeknights. So we had to hire a drummer to play Wednesdays and Thursdays. So that turned out to be interesting. And so we walk in the next Wednesday afternoon after school, of course, and we're setting up our equipment. Getting ready to sound check, trying to figure out what in the world we're going to play. Mm-hmm. Because you gotta imagine, the place we were playing at in Perry was not much bigger than this room right here.
Yeah. I don't even know where Cherokee Rose would have been in Perry.
And you walk in, I don't know what exit it is. It's the exit before the fairground exit.
Okay.
Back north, one exit. If you're going southbound, you get off the exit, you turn right into this parking lot. It's not even there anymore.
Okay, that's probably why I have no idea.
I think there's a whole new hotel there. Okay. It was one of those like motels, like one story.
Gotcha. Kind of why you pay by the hour.
You know,
get a little scandalous every once in a while.
One of those
there.
Things. And the bar was attached to this restaurant, this Italian restaurant. It was actually a really great restaurant. It was called Angelina's. And they had a big billboard and stuff by the interstate. But so, going back, we're in Nashville South. We're setting up. You know, we're nervous as I don't know what. In walks Jason Aldean, but who we knew as Jason Williams. He walks in. He and Ben Lee, a good friend of his, and he's tucking the guitar case. He's got on Wranglers with a starched crease this thick.
I've seen his britches.
And I think
he ain't hiding much in them some bitches. I'll tell you that. Holy shit!
I think a Ralph Lauren polo, button down, long sleeve, untucked, unbuttoned, with like a solid t-shirt, something colored t-shirt under it.
And I'm guessing he had a backwards fitted cap on because he didn't wear cowboy hats back then, right?
No, he did.
But oh, I bet it didn't look right on him, though.
He did. It was. He was one of those that did the Tim McGraw, like straight down in the back cowboy
that's
hat.
Even fucking worse.
It, that, you know, that was his thing back then.
It's bad. I've seen pictures.
But we're looking at this because nobody else. It's like 5 o'clock in the afternoon at a bar.
Yeah.
In a big nightclub, a 3-story nightclub. And we see this guy and we're like, shit. They didn't tell him that they're fired. He's from the band that they fired, that we replaced. And at some point he just walks on up to us. I mean, let me back up. When he walked in with his guitar case, he walked in like he owned the place. You could tell he was very comfortable there. Yeah. And so we're like, who is this motherfucker? You know?
Yeah.
And so he introduces himself and he informs us that there's two guest singers every night. It's Jason and it was a female vocalist named Lee Candelera. Who is awesome. I don't know what
happened
to her.
I've never heard that name before. Yeah, I've never, of all my time being around musicians and stuff and making, I don't think I've
never
heard
or seen of her before or after this period. But so we were like, great. So there's two other people that's going to be joining us tonight in just a couple of hours. And we don't even know them, let alone what they're going to sing. So like, we're freaking out. So we wind up figuring out some songs that we all know, and you know, we made it work. But that's how we met Jason,
and then y'all became his official band.
We did. During this time is when he recorded we recorded Cowboy Lady.
See, that was my next question, because one of the biggest things from when I was working in country radio, but even before that, everybody has always wanted to know why Cowboy Lady has never been put on anything.
You'll never hear him do that song.
Why is that?
I'm really not sure. Honestly, I have no idea.
He didn't like it?
He doesn't. He doesn't now.
Yeah.
I reunited with Jason, I don't know, before his first album.
Yeah.
Moved up to Nashville with him. Helped put a band together, and you know, we played several showcases for record labels, some that no label reps even showed up to. You know, which is not very uncommon up there.
Super common.
Night he was signed, Broken Bow, Benny. The night Benny signed into Broken Bow, Benny wasn't even invited. Like, he wasn't even
just happened to
expected
be there.
To be yeah. there. But I don't think any other label showed up that night either. And
I think from what I've heard, Jason's not the original writer of Cowboy Lady.
No. God, Wes Robinson would have to me up on this. I want to say
that's where I've heard the story is.
Donnie.
Is Jason, the guy who has a grudge against Jason, the one who actually wrote it. And he will not.
I think he's deceased.
Oh well, that might be it. Might be it too.
I believe he is
because
deceased.
The story that I've heard over and over and over again from different people is that the dude who wrote it and Jason had a falling out, and he pretty much told him, "I'll be damned if you ever record the song."
Huh.
Like, that's what I have heard. Now, yeah. if you don't know, I mean, that's just what I've heard. It might not be a damn ounce. Bit of truth to it.
If it was, I never heard anything about it, but yeah. It could very well be true.
Because as good as that was, now, how long did y'all play with him before, I guess, there was a kind of a split?
When he graduated from Windsor, he's maybe a year or two older than I am. So yeah, he had graduated and was working for Pepsi. And we were still in school, but he was already kind of wanting to venture out, you know, outside of this one venue that we were playing constantly. It seemed like nonstop every night. And so like his dad, Barry Williams,
Super nice guy, by the way.
Love Barry to death.
Super nice guy.
And Miss Vivian is his
yeah,
wife.
He's a sweetheart.
Barry would book some shows, and you know we would go play them, but they would be. We would take a night off from Nashville South to go do it, basically. So Jason just kind of came up to me one day, or he called me maybe one day, and was like, "Hey, you know, I'm thinking about leaving Nashville South. Let's start playing on the road. You know, just start playing different towns and different venues and stuff." I'm like, I'm down definitely. And so this was close to the time. Maybe when we graduated, the rest of the band graduated high school because we were all in the same grade, same school. Mary Persons High School, Forsyth. Cool thing about the band Young Guns, of course, I was in it. But you got Jason Aldean and Justin Weaver. If you're not familiar with Justin Weaver,
I don't know that name.
He has wrote a lot for several artists Bottoms in
Up,
Nashville.
Brantley Gilbert. Justin wrote Bottoms Up of Brantley Gilbert. Justin wrote That's How I Know You Love Me, Justin Moore. He wrote the
Meghan Trainor
and John Legend song Like I'm Gonna Lose You. He wrote that song.
He wrote a song for Meghan Trainor.
So all that talent in this one little teenage punk little wannabe cowboy.
There's so much talent that is in this area.
Look
at Kayla. I mean, you've been around a while, and not to boost your whatever, you're 24 and you're unpolished, and you got somebody to polish you. You know, it's people don't realize Macon used to be a hub
Macon
for musicians.
Was the place.
Yeah, I'm telling you, even though Nashville is technically, yes, absolutely. His foundation is there. If you ever want to go meet his wife and his...
I did their camp.
Zelma.
Oh, yeah, I loved it.
Every time
I get a chance, I stop in and talk to her.
Yeah, the Otis Redding camp, singer-songwriter camp. I did it for like 2 or 3 summers in a row.
That's probably
during
the best
high
place
school.
You could go.
Oh, yeah.
But around here, people just do not realize the musicians. Nashville is technically the South, but... You know, Macon is the Nashville of the real South.
Yeah.
And there's so many folks like you, Matt, and Kayla. Kayla, you're very good. I told you a while ago, you're raw. And you need to have a stick took to you and be polished up. But you got a really good voice.
You hit that right, the nail right on the head.
Yeah. No, trust me. I know a hard head when I see one because I've got one. Like a real recognize real or whatever it all says.
Right, game recognize game.
Yeah, that's right. So like it's one of them things to where y'all being from Mary Persons in the same place in other parts of this country, and that might sound like it's unbelievable, but it's not. There's people around here because I believe that it branched off. I believe at some point in time that there's somebody in y'all's family and other people's family that. Just was such good musicians that passed it down. Like you said a while ago, with your daddy just having a guitar in the closet. A lot of folks' daddies just had a guitar in the closet. And, some got played, some didn't.
Right.
I've had people in here that had just pushed, they said their parents pushed them into music. That kind of leads into like my next question with y'all. Because about this time, Kayla, you're 24. So... About this time is probably when Kayla came along, right? Like it's, you've been 96.
That's my senior year.
96, baby. Whenever you found out about Kayla, is that when it kind of took a turn with the music to where you are? How did that work out?
You know,
if you don't mind sharing,
we like to get personal as fuck here. Not at all. It definitely kind of, brought everything in perspective, kind of. And, I was 17, 18 by the time you were born. Your whole world is like flipped upside down. You have no idea what you're about to do.
I had my daughter at 24. I can't imagine at 18. I can't. My mind is blown every time I hear of somebody having a child while they're a teen.
Well, yeah.
I don't have it figured out now at 33.
Right. I don't.
Shit, 42. I'm not ready for it now.
It's, we were kids having a kid. You know, I say we, her mom, you know, stepped up, you know, did, you know, everything she needed to do and made sure that she was going to, you know, be taken care of the rest of her life. And when her mom and I broke up, it kind of, because they were.
Were y'all the same age?
Yeah, basically, she's like a year younger than I am.
Okay.
But yeah, so relatively the same. But like there were people, you know, from her family, people from my family, you know, coming to me like, all right, you know, you need to get you a real job. You're going to stop playing this music. And, you know, and I was like, what? You know, why? I couldn't see why, you know, why.
I understand.
I definitely do.
I understand why somebody can say that. But at the same time, it's, and I always try to see both sides of an argument, right? Like, yeah. That's one thing about me. I don't like just picking one side.
That's what they say. There's always
not knowing the love of a child yet because you haven't had one and knowing the love of music. Mm-hmm. There's a line right there that is very hard to walk.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm glad that I wasn't given any musical talent to where I never got put. I didn't ever get put into place. But that would be like, man, this girl right here loves me to death. And she would do anything for me. Even though sometimes she lets me down, she's always got my back.
That's right.
And then you got a girl on this side, it's like, well, I might like her. You know, I'm sure I'll grow to love her. Which one do you pick between? Mm-hmm. And that's what, it's not an easy conversation to ever have about that time period of a musician, because I've got several buddies, and they have always told me that when it comes town time to where you're about to have a youngin', you get put between the thing that you love that is your youngin', which is your music, and an actual child. And I don't know how y'all's relationship with it. Like I don't know.
Her mom and I actually were forbidden to see each other at one point, you know, and
I've been there.
That kind
of music though
puts a damper on a relationship. You know,
shit.
You know, it did. I can say it now because we ain't gonna get in trouble. We grown, but I want to say I feel like that we snuck around to take Lamaze class. We definitely snuck around to see each other,
yeah.
And because we got busted almost every time. But,
it has happened to the best of us, I promise you that.
No, this is the first time hearing some of this stuff.
But being a teenager.
That's why you drink whiskey and talk.
Yeah, pretty much.
The truth comes out.
Yeah.
But the music, it's kind of ironic now, kind of funny, but, you know, music was kind of what separated us, Kayla and I, you know, for.
Isn't it kind of beautiful though? That's probably what reunited y'all now.
That's absolutely what's brought us back. That and my grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna tell you what, I was not ready to be a granddaddy.
No.
Not at all.
I don't think anybody.
Not at all. But hey, now look, I love being pop now.
Yeah.
And
that's cool.
But yeah, so I don't know. It's kind of closure in a sense. I don't know if that's the word.
Do you know what one thing, I just went on a bachelor party last week and I had to explain this to somebody. You know what making amends is?
Yes.
I was not a very good person when I was young, from like probably 18 to 22, or shit, probably a little bit farther than that.
Yeah.
I was just not a good person. Did a lot of rowdy shit, lied, stole, cheated, did a lot of stuff I'm not proud of.
I think I might can relate.
Oh, yeah, it's happened to all of us. But one reason now, like I do charity work and I try to help people, is it's making amends. And the pretty much with it, and it comes from kind of like the Catholic stuff, even though I'm a Christian, it's whenever you do something bad, you're supposed to do two things that are good.
Right.
And with somebody that makes a mistake, you were young. You know, that I hate seeing people hold that shit against somebody for the rest of their lives. I've got a daughter that's in Alabama, and I don't get to see her because me and her mom hate each other.
Right.
Like, she is in, she's a good mother, sucks. But she that is really evil sucks. From hell. Like, she is the definition of evil, but she's a good mother. And when the good Lord has it all played out, that's when it'll come together. I've made peace with it. And even if it's like you and Kayla, you know, it sounds like there was problems to start off with, and then you had things that brought you back together. It's with you making amends now and with the grandkids and everything, that's how you make up for that shit.
That's right.
You have to forgive yourself at some point in time. And I commend you for that. And you too for letting him be part of it.
Right.
So how long did this kind of struggle go on between you and Kayla's mother? Like, is it a recent development that y'all started reconnecting, or has it been?
No. Really, when Kayla was born, we were, you know, I don't think we ever hated each other. It was never really to that point. It was, I mean, really, we grew apart, you know. And
your kids.
Yeah.
We grew apart.
She grew up a little quicker than I did.
She's a woman.
You know, I'll say that for sure.
Are damned by immaturity. And we'll forever be damned by immaturity.
But we, you know, we've always, you know, ever since she was born, you know, we've always had a good relationship, you know. She's been to some shows, you know, that I've played around making, and Kayla wouldn't, you know, be playing with me, but she might mention it to her that she was going to get up and do a song with me, you know.
Yeah.
And so her mom comes out and, you know, and supports her, which is really cool. But about a year after Kayla was born, I got married and moved to the other side of the state, over to Carrollton. And so that had some bearing on, you know, the lack of relationship. And my wife at that time was jealous.
Well, that's what they call them, exes.
Jealous. And that really put a damper on things. But about a year later, we divorced and, you know, moved on to better things. But, you know, there's a lot of things that I guess made our relationship, or lack thereof, what it was. And, but a lot of it came in the form of like drugs and alcohol too. You know, that.
Before we get on that road, because that's one road I think me and you can really relate on. Kayla, when you were young, mm-hmm. and you knew your dad was a musician, mm-hmm. did you realize that, you know, maybe that's why you didn't have the relationship you wanted? Did you realize that, you know, maybe this was, you know, this was just the life that y'all, that the life of a musician's child? Or were you too young to realize kind of what was going on?
Honestly, I think I was just too young to really realize what was going on. The kind of pattern that we had was I'd go to dad's house for the weekend, and I'd spend the night at my grandparents. He'd stay there too, and we'd hang out, and then I'd go home on Sundays. Mama or Papa or even Dad would take me home on Sundays, and then I'd have my weeks at Mama's, and then, you know, a weekend at Mom's, and then the following weekend back at Daddy's, and then it just, I don't know, I just thought that's how it was supposed to be.
Sometimes there was weeks
yeah.
in between, you know.
Now, you told me a story earlier, Matt, and it got me thinking about this now. It's, you learned to harmonize with him singing.
In a car seat.
Now, is that why? Did he give you that passion for music right off the bat?
I think so.
She had it. I'm going to speak up. She had it already. She had it in her. We got her a Britney Spears.
Oh, God.
Signature Series.
I forgot about that.
Wireless head mic. You know, like the Garth Brooks kind
of
deal.
I hope you have a picture of that shit, because if they do, I promise you, I will never let it live.
And look.
So many times.
She would not come out to perform for the family or whoever was whoever was there that night at the house. She wouldn't come out until you
announced her. I would literally come down the hallway with my hand on my hip and be like, okay.
Knowing you the little bit I know you, I could absolutely see that.
Oh, yeah. I would look at him or Mama One to announce me to come out the hallway. And then I'd go stand on the fireplace, like the hearth. And then I'd get ready and like perform my little show and like twist my hair and walk around.
Did it
sing it? Oops, I did it again.
Yes.
And
seeing your dad play, did it make you want to be more of a musician, or did it? Because I'll say this word, and I mean it with all respect: struggling musician.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. That's just probably the best term to use.
Hell yeah.
Did it make you? For
growing up,
did it want
younger,
to stay away from her, did it make you want it more?
Younger, it made me want to chase after it. But once I started getting older, and I did see a lot of the struggle, but not just with what he went through, but I'd seen people that I knew going through struggles of making it and the things that they would have to go through to just push towards even getting close to Nashville. And it made me, it terrified me, to be honest.
You said the key word why it should have terrified you, and that's Nashville.
Yeah.
Nashville is the destroying place of a good musician. And there has been many men and women that have gone there since, I'll probably say the beginning of the 90s. Before that, if you were musically talented and you went to Nashville, they'd find a place for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's so many people.
Literally everywhere you turn, there's somebody playing music, whether it be on a street corner, whether it be in a bar, karaoke, somebody is singing.
I tell people all the time that there's somebody right now on a street corner in Nashville on a Friday night that is 10 times better than you will see in 90% of the bars in Georgia.
But because everybody goes there, people kind of stray. Like,
well, everybody's got the idea of Nashville. Mm-hmm. They don't realize that if you're good, Willie Nelson got kicked out of Nashville, got sent back to Texas. And they said, there's a documentary series that I love. It's called Tales from the Tour Bus. Yes. And they got, you seen it?
Yes.
You're the first person that has came in there that has seen it. They told Willie Nelson when he left Nashville that he would never make it. He was in Texas and he played,
yeah.
He played to his crowd and to his people for about 2 years, I think is what they said. Willie Nelson was one of the biggest stars in country music after that. I don't think that Nashville is what it makes, especially now. If you're not a size, if for a woman, I'm just going to use a woman example. Mm-hmm. If you're not a size 0 to 2.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't have long legs.
Bottle blonde, long legs.
They're not going to pay you attention. I'm going to say her name again for the 100th time on this fucking podcast. One of my friends, her name is Dominique Hutchinson. She is covered with tattoos. She has a everyday job playing Benchmark. It's Benchmark and Losers in Nashville. She is one of the baddest bitches you're going to see in Nashville. Mm. And because she does not look like a Nashville beauty queen, look at Ashley McBride.
She?
Bam. Right.
I mean,
Ashley McBride is, I don't care about
Stapleton.
Oh, yeah. You talking about Morgan, his wife, or just Chris?
Yeah, just Chris.
Oh, Chris no, it took Chris forever to get there.
Yeah.
But as far as just women goes, like it's so hard for you to fit in. You have to break the mold before you get there. And once you get there, they're going to try to put you back into that mold. And that's what has happened. That's why you always hear an artist, their first two EPs are so good because they're them. Then Nashville gets a hold of them. And then you hear this bullshit. You got to play with Jason. You know exactly what I'm talking about because Jason's first two or three albums is Gasoline.
Right.
Then this last album he came out with, 9.
Dynamite.
Because he took back control, created control of his stuff, and he became this Dynamite again.
Mm-hmm. You know, Jason doesn't write in any of his music. A lot of people ask me that all the time.
I've heard that from several people.
He doesn't. But he's at the point of his career now, you know what I mean? It's safe to say he's up near the top.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's male artist in country music. So they will inform these hit songwriters that Aldine's about going to be cutting a new album, you know, in
throw
2 or 3 months.
Shit at him
and
right
they'll,
now.
They'll go and have writing sessions just for him, just for that album.
The only person in Nashville that is actually writing their own music that I can say, well, there's more than this, but the one that I know 100% is Luke Combs and Rowdy. Rowdy's his guitar player. They will sit there and they will, if you go look on their album right now.
Luke is a beast.
He can sing the fucking phone book, dude.
Beast.
But you give him another 2 albums and it'll be commercialized and it'll be whatever, you know, they want them to be. Kayla, and with Matt too, like, I have like this idea in my head of y'all two. I feel like your dad has had enough life experiences that if you learn to write and y'all can write together, there's some fire there. Everybody that I've had in here, I will tell y'all the same thing. As a musician, you might not have 100 great songs, but you got one all-time song in you. And the reason why I know that is because everybody has different life experiences.
Mm-hmm.
You and your daddy have a story between the two of y'all that if y'all were to ever sit down, and I'm going to tell you, it's going in tears, fist fights, whatever the hell it's going to do, but y'all's story, writing it and putting it pen to paper, it might take 5 years to write it. It might take 5 minutes, but that's a song. And that's one reason I wanted to have y'all, because I think it's very unique as a father that y'all play music together. My little bastard, Miss Gracie, we will never write music together. And it's because I'm not anymore. She's an athlete. And we're both good at talking, but we ain't got a musical lick in our head. It sounds like cats dying every time you hear us sing.
I've seen the Snapchats.
I know, we can't sing. I get drunk and there's this moment. There's like, you know what? I can harmonize and I can fake it. And then I hear about it the next day and it's like, what the fuck was I thinking? I don't know where this was going. But at the time, I'm like, you know what? That's Jim Beam for you.
Thank you.
You know, that's Jim Beam or Buffalo Trace for you. I can't imagine what it is like though. And this is something I find beautiful between two of y'all. I saw Jamie Johnson in Atlanta about 6-7 years ago, and he asked his daughter to come up on stage with him. His daughter couldn't have been more than 10 years old.
No.
And I thought it was beautiful. They did it in color together. And I was drunk. That's probably what I don't remember a good bit of it. But, yeah, I know. If I was at Wild Bill's or whatever it was back then in Atlanta, I promise you, I was hammered. You need another one of them?
Sure.
Yeah, let's get Matt another one of them, please. I can't imagine what it is like for y'all to sit there and play together. And there's got to be these moments to when y'all are playing that, you know, all families at some point in time need to go through therapy. I feel like that is... We get to watch y'all have therapy.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know
if she gets it yet.
Well, she's young.
If she understands just like how...
Well, as men...
Freaking special. I don't know what any other way to put it.
As men, we have this default. And we're so damn prideful that it's so hard for us to say, we fucked up. And then when we do say we fucked up...
Why is that? Why is it so hard?
Because we're men. We're fucking stupid. I understand what I am. I know I'm a dumbass, but I really feel like that with you and Kayla, with the rocky kind of past with some things and everything, I think it means a whole lot more to you, y'all two playing together right now, but I think it'll mean more to you in the future. I think it's more of you saying, you know, I might not have been the best before, but I'm trying to make up for it. Is that how you feel, Kayla? Or what does it mean when y'all play together?
It means a lot to me, just because really our main connection that we have for our relationship is music.
It is music, yeah.
I mean, that's the main, really true thing that we have in common is music. And I feel like that's a main role that holds us together.
See, I'll be real with you. And by the way, what I'm about to say, y'all can go look up the Velvet Session on YouTube. It'll be the Velvet Session, Kayla and Matt Pippen. You kind of got aggravated earlier, but then when y'all started playing together, it went away. Like, you could instant see it. You could instantly be like, all right, all right. Like, I'm in my happy place.
Yeah.
Dad's here. We're fucking melting faces. Let's do it.
I work myself up, and I get nervous.
Well, that's because you're a woman. If we're going to put
yes, that's
if we're
going to
put men down for being jackasses, we're going to put women.
I get myself anxiety, and I overthink situations. And then when it comes to music, I'll overthink me, like, lyrics. I struggle so hard memorizing lyrics, and I overthink it. That's my problem. I overthink it. I overthink the scenario. I overthink hitting this note, and am I going to remember to go to this lyric next after this note? I just overthink it. But when he comes in and plays, just because it's my dad, I'm comfortable around him, and he starts to pick the guitar because, I mean, it just flows so well. I just, okay, stress relieved. I'm good.
Boy, I swear.
See, I didn't know this. So.
Well, you can see it, though. That's the thing, like, as a father, like, just telling you straight up.
Well, we read each other so well. Because
you can see it.
We read each other so well that I've had people, if it's so hard for y'all to get together sometimes, why don't you have another guitar player? And y'all, and I'm like, but it's my dad. I'm comfortable.
Well, it's, you're right. It is a comfort blanket.
It is.
But also, too, man, I would just, to put this in perspective for me and my daughter.
Yes.
My daughter's an athlete. If she goes and strikes out three times and I'm the coach, I'm going to pat her on the ass. I'm going to tell her to get her head out of her ass. She's going to be great tomorrow. If you had another guitar player, and let's say you had a bad night, your voice is off, you miss a couple notes or whatever, you have that comfort zone to where your dad's going to pat you on the ass. Mm-hmm. Like, don't worry, baby, I got you tomorrow. Like, that's
very true.
You can't make that up with somebody else. Yeah. Ashley McBride, of all people, has a song called Andy. And have you ever heard Andy?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
She's singing about her guitar player. But if you hear her talk about that song, it's because she knows that she doesn't matter the scenario.
She can rely on it.
She can rely on it. And I can only imagine, because music is the hardest thing. I love sports more than anything. Music is a very, very close second. The older I get and the more I've get into it and the more I read and become knowledgeable of it. But knowing that you can fail in music, but you have someone there to pick you up and it happens to be your father, holy shit.
Yeah.
You take chances. Take chances, because it's not like your band's going to leave you.
I mean, I'm so comfortable. We can do songs. I'll be like, hey, have you heard this song? And we'll be on during a show, we'll be on a little 10-15 minute break in the middle of the show. And we'll step outside to drink a beer, go, you know, whatever, just our break. And I'll be like, hey, have you heard this song? Listen to it real quick. And he'll listen to it. Like, let's do it. Let's just try it. And we'll literally get up there and try it. And just because he's just good at what he does and he can just listen to something and pick it up that quick. But because we're also comfortable with each other and I can look at him and he can look at me and we can literally read off of each other. Okay, I'm going to go in. He can just look at my face and know, okay, I'm about to go into this next verse. Or I can look at him and be like, okay, cue me in, like,
see, that's another thing that you need to realize, though, is a regular guitar player is going to tell you to go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Like,
pretty much.
Realize what a blessing it is to have dad standing there. Uh-huh. Because if you tell just an everyday average guitar player that you're just paying to be there, hey, will you want to try to learn this real fast? They're just like, next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, next week you better pick something for practice.
1 to 3 rehearsals over it before I can play it like that.
Yeah, but there's something, like I said, it's making amends, dude. I mean, none of us are perfect. And I just think that's cool. I wish me and Grace were talented. I do, because I watched, me and Matt have never bumped into each other. He doesn't realize that you was gonna play a wedding for my buddy. Like he's about to go on like his 10-year anniversary. You were gonna play it and you had to cancel it at the last minute. But we had saw you at Wild Wings or something and he had talked to you.
Okay.
That's the only interaction ever had with you before this. And I've reached out to a lot of musicians in this area. And I was just like, I don't know Matt good enough to reach out to him. But then I saw you and Kayla playing at Company Supply the other night. Like I saw some videos and stuff sent to me. I heard both of you singing extremely well. And I was like, you know what? It's not that I think they're good musicians. I do. But I was like, they've got a story. There's something behind, like there's more the father, daughter getting up there on stage. And like I said a while ago, it took me right back to Jamie Johnson and his 10-year-old daughter on that stage. And I was like, I've got to hear more of this.
The first time, I think it was the first time, if I remember correctly, that you brought me up on stage was at the Opry House in Juliet.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I don't even remember what I sang.
How old are you? How old were you?
I was like four. Four or five.
Teeny tiny.
Four or five. And he brought me up on stage to sing. I don't even remember what I sang.
I think you might have just been singing along with me even.
Might have been. But I remember sitting the Opry House in Juliet. It's such a cool little place. Do they even still do stuff like that down there anymore? Mm-hmm. I really don't think they do. But in Juliet, Opry House.
It's probably 150 years old.
Probably got the best acoustics in Georgia, too.
Yeah. It's all that old.
It sounds so damn good.
You've got to go check it out. It's
I'll look it up. Cool. I didn't know anything about it.
But the little Opry House, I mean, it had like these old rickety little church pews as their like what people could come and sit in to come listen. I mean, this place I'm talking is like come in and hear banjos and stuff, like
the good shit.
Literally, that's what they would have. Yeah,
it's the good shit.
Yeah.
They're jamming on the porch before the show, and they're jamming on the
porch.
Yeah,
banjos
after.
And stuff on the porch, and then you come in and dad's playing and whatever. And I remember that night we got there. We parked down near the old fire station. My grandparents, his parents, my mom and papa, we were walking down and we walked in. There was somebody actually playing a banjo on the porch and papa ended up started talking to him. Well, me and mama, we walked in and they had this little like popcorn and candy like right at the door. And so, of course, me being a kid, I wanted a little bag of popcorn. So I got my little bag of popcorn. We go and we're sitting in the front little wooden pew.
Hey, we still like popcorn and candy.
Yeah.
Hey, shit, ain't nothing wrong with us.
Sitting in the little pew and dad started singing. He's a few songs in and then he looks at me and he's like, come here. And I was like, what? Me? Like, all right. So I pop on up there and sit on a stool like I'd done it before. And we just...
You know how many kids get to have that experience?
Not very many.
You know,
not very many 4 or 5 year olds would come up. Same. Would come on up.
Yeah. Absolutely. Gracie would have told me to kiss my ass.
She'd come on up there and just
Gracie would have been like, not a chance in hell am I doing this. Now, like I said, I like to see both sides of the argument. And there's not an argument here anyway. I just like to see both sides of the conversation. It probably would have been better to say it. But that is something that you will have the rest of your life. And I know, Matt, you said something a while ago about drugs and alcohol. Me and you both been down that road. I've been locked up for alcohol before, DUI, and being a jackass. But even on the bad days, like whenever, you know, like because we're dads, especially you were a young dad. You're way younger than I was. And I screwed up when I was 24. When you're a kid, you don't know that you're going to make those mistakes. And you didn't sign up to be a dad. Like, that's the thing. Like, you were having a good time. You put, you know, object A into object B and popped out, I'll see a kid later. It just happens. You just don't know what's going to happen at the time.
That's right.
But you live and you learn. You grow from it. And I think on the bad days, if you and your dad don't get along tomorrow, you've got memories that other people wish they could pay for.
That.
You've got y'all two are building something that is so special. And it's cool as hell. Like that's the thing. It's every daughter that's got daddy issues. I know a bunch of them. And every dad that knows it, there's been a time or two he's fucked up. They're going to look at y'all and they're going to hear your story. And they're going to be like, damn, I wish I had that. And so, like, even on the bad days, y'all got something to build off of.
That right there is something I think about often, especially in the moment while we're doing a show or even just a particular song or something.
As a father, you've got to.
I'll think back and go, man, this is something that she's going to look back on when I'm gone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And can think about, you know, and
yeah, but for you too, but as well as her looking back on it, it's got to mean something to you.
Man, it's got to mean a whole.
Really. I know how bad I fucked up before in life, and I don't know your story, but just as father to father, when you see your daughter belting her ass off, and everybody in the place being like, "Holy shit, why don't we know her name yet?"
Makes your chest swell up, buddy. Let me tell you.
I know as decent as I was at sports growing up, and I might have hit a home run or two every now and then, watching my daughter do it makes me fucking perk up 10 times more than any bomb I've dropped.
You better believe it.
So I can only imagine what it's like for you, and you might contain it better than I do. I'm a fucking softie. I'm a fucking crybaby teddy bear ass guy. If I'm feeling it, and I'm putting it out there. Like I don't have a good poker face. I can't, but yeah. I don't feel like you ought to. Like if I'm a crybaby, fuck crybaby. I don't care. Yeah, but
dare somebody to say something about it.
No, they had to beat my ass. I'm gonna tell you. The good Lord made me soft, but he also made me tough.
Yeah.
So if you gonna pick on me, you better get ready for me picking back.
That's right. That's one thing my dad taught me at a young age. If you gonna be stupid, you better be tough.
Yeah. But there's no way I know me and I can sit there and I can watch my daughter sing without crying the whole time. There's no way. And the fact that you're strong enough and y'all can do that shit together, he probably realizes how special it is. Hey, Matt probably realizes how special it is. You probably being young, hard-headed.
No, I do. I do.
Nobody else is going to get it. I bet you don't have a single friend that has it. I bet you can't go look on Facebook or anybody that you actually know right now. And they're
I'm
like,
not sure that I can.
No, you, I know. That's I don't the think.
Thing. I'm not sure that I can.
I can't maybe sit here and tell you, besides for the one experience with Jamie Johnson and his kid, and then Travis Tritt and his daughter. Travis Tritt and his daughter is the only other one I can really think of. Travis takes her on the road. And
Tim McGraw and Faith Hill there.
I've never seen that one. I've never seen their daughter sing with them. They did the Daddy's Little Girl song a couple years ago and all that.
Well, there's a video. I don't know what social
something
media.
Something about Fly Away.
It's on.
Fly
they're in the
away.
Car.
Yeah.
Driving, and Tim's just like, I think her name's Maggie, maybe. She's killing it.
She's good.
How could she not?
There's no way with those genetics.
Now, that's the thing, too. Like, Kayla's mom sang. She didn't sing. She didn't perform. She didn't do any shows. She was in chorus, I think, in middle school.
Church choir and stuff like that.
That's where the best singers are now. I'm telling you.
I do remember her mom could sing, you know. So
she don't like to show it off. She's shy about it, but she does sing.
Boy, that's why the good Lord didn't give me long. I'm telling you, he knew that if he gave me any musical talent, I was ruining myself. I know. That's why he made me good. He made me good at talking shit.
Right.
That's it. If I was a musician, everybody, because he's talking about Jason Aldean earlier. Everybody was at one point in time was giving so much shit because he had left his wife for the cheerleader, and I was like, I'm not condoning it, but that had been me. I mean, but I know me. I love women. If I was in his shoes, I just would have been single. I would not have been tied down. There's no way I could have.
Yeah, they were together In high school, you know, high school sweethearts.
But she got to walk away with a nice little nest egg, and she's sitting there.
She's doing okay.
She's doing all right. Yeah. All right.
And he got the cheerleader.
She's doing
all right. I follow them on social. I don't follow Jason. I follow her on social media. She don't look like she's too fucking pissed. She ain't worried about the ex-old lady at all. You can see Jason every now and then. Like some of the songs that he sings now, it's just like he's singing about his first wife. He's not singing about the cheerleader. He knows what he did. He let a dime get his ass in trouble.
And it just happened to get caught that particular.
I don't think if he gets caught, I think he's still with his first wife.
You're probably absolutely right.
But I'm one of these guys I'm one of these guys. I think it's like four of us in the world that I believe in monkey brain, and I believe in being monkey a Viking. Brain. And it's so hard for a man to be monogamous. It's so hard because our brains just aren't geared that way.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the brain so much.
I know it's connected to the brain. Yeah, it's one of them damn heads that are telling me what to do sometimes. Right. And it's like, will you please just shut your little ass up? Right, we got shit to do, and this ain't one of them. But to get back on track before we go on that, because that is not. Being Vikings and monkey brain is not where this show is going to go.
Yeah, Lord, if somebody's hearing this show for the first time, they're like, what?
I know. They know when I'm drinking whiskey. That's me. Of all the folks that download the show and listen, they know when I've been drinking whiskey because it veers. And then when it veers, that son of a bitch veers.
It's hard.
It goes from 75 to 475 real fucking quick. Yeah. But to end all this on a positive note, I'm going to ask both of y'all the same question. Kayla, I want you to answer first.
Okay.
It's, you probably at some point in time thought that music took your dad away from you. Do you think now that it is what is going to be like the defining thing between y'all's relationship?
Oh, yeah.
Is that something that as you grow as an artist, as a person, not just needing your dad there like a normal person is there. Let's say you blow up tomorrow. Let's say somebody hears you on the Velvet Session and they look up Kayla Pippen and they're like, this girl can sing. Let's put some money into her. Let's put the right people around her. Is it going to be something for you? He's like, my dad got me here and I need my dad. Like, is it going to be...
I don't know about you, but you going on the road with me.
that's what I wanted to do.
You going on the road with me.
That's exactly what I wanted to hear. And the same thing for you, Matt. I mean, you've been in this business a long-ass time. You know, you struggled. You've done well. You know, regardless of, you know, how Kayla's career or her intentions go, if tomorrow Jason calls you back and is like, hey, you know, you come on the road with us 365, or are you going to stay and be pop-pop? What at 40?
Pop-pop all day long.
Yeah.
You know, there's some things I miss about being on the road and touring. Like, I think the last gig I had was with the Lax, which I was going to say last time I had been through Cochran was on the bus with the Lax.
I was headed to Baxley.
On the way back to Baxley from a trip out of Louisiana or something. But and it had been a while since I had toured with anybody when I started touring with them. Demon Jones actually called
and
hooked me up with them. Hell of a nice guy. But like I remembered right away, like about the second night, that, you know, there's a lot of this that, you know, I don't necessarily miss. You know, there's, I don't know, I think the older you get, the more kind of in your, I won't say like rut, but like, and you get more into your groove, your routine.
Well, you redefine your legacy.
Yeah.
As a young man, we all probably want the same thing. We all want these beautiful women. We want our name etched somewhere. But you realize with your kids and with you with your grandkids. Like, that's your legacy. You know, you can make all the money in the world, but at the end of the day, your family is what matters.
That's what's going to be there.
You can't come between
when the money's gone.
Layla, her pop, and gummies.
Gummies.
Oh, them two and their gummies. Gummies.
See, I love how stories come like full circle. And if it had been where you'd have went with Jason, or if you'd have took off, you wouldn't get to share a simple thing like with her daughter and the gummies.
Like, yeah, that's it.
Literally, that's every time we get together with Dad, he's either surprising her with gummies or she's asking him for gummies. One or the two.
She's cooking up a trip to the store.
Yeah.
But that's something special, and that's something that money can't buy, and y'all performing together is something that money can't buy. And I'm very happy that y'all came.
Oh, man, thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Y'all definitely were the longest warm-up that we've ever had. Yeah. But y'all did a hell of a job. And
because we had a totally different lineup of songs.
Yeah. I wanted y'all to stand out. And you told me before you played the Beaten Man song, he's like, this way. And I hadn't heard it. And I was like, that's fucking good. Mm-hmm. And then the way her face lit up when you hit the first chord, it's like, all right, I'm putting my seatbelt on. And I'm ready for this.
That's literally one of my favorite songs that
have y'all ever wrote together?
We have not.
I'm telling you.
And really, it's never crossed our mind.
I'm telling you two right now, you two have a number one fucking country song because of the lives y'all lived. You two get put in a room, throw your phones outside, tell your old lady, tell whoever you've got, I'll talk to you when I talk to you. You split a bottle of liquor, and y'all put it down on pen and paper, y'all story. That's a beautiful song.
We definitely have one hell of a story. Yeah,
think about it. That song's not out there.
That's true. Because
it's not the Pippin song.
That's true.
Nobody else can write that song.
That's right.
Everybody that comes in here, I tell them, I will play it for y'all when we leave. Shout out to Jeff Parrish, Chucky P. He wrote a song. He's one of my real, real good friends. He was in here after our last event. And he wrote a song called This Room. Okay. He did it on the Velvet Session, but he talked about it on this show. I had over 100-something people message me, like, will you please send me the demo to it?
Dang.
And it is literally, that's his song. That is his song. I don't know if you know Justin Dukes. Justin Dukes is a buddy of mine. He's from Vidalia.
Not personally, but I definitely have seen his name.
He has a song called, he's got several good, but his fucking home run is a song called When She Gets Her Wings. And he opened up for Vince Gill. Vince Gill heard it, wanted it. And Justin's really? Holding on to it. Oh, I'll play for you. Mm. But y'all two have a song, a story, that as I'm sitting here thinking about it, I can't think of a song. I can't think of a song about that life experience. And it's literally because it's yours. That's it. You two sit there, and it's good because I've heard the stuff what you played earlier, it's your originals. And y'all sit there, and y'all just bash it out. Y'all get into it first. Y'all piss each other off. I don't think that's probably hard between the two of y'all.
No.
But y'all sit there and y'all actually put your real heart into it. Guarantee you, you got fucking money. It is money. And if y'all need a place to do it, that's what this place is here for. We ain't got to be here. This would be
an excellent place.
I'd love to have y'all do it here. But thank both of y'all. Before we get off of here, drop your social media information real fast. And tell them, Matt, you go first. Tell them where they can find you on social media.
Well, this will be quick and easy. Matt Pippin on Facebook or Matt Pippin Live. I always try to do a live feed or live stream. I'm old. I don't even know what to call these things.
I will help you 100% with your social media. All you got to do is ever call me and come down here. And we'll put together some good stuff for you.
Raising my hand.
I hadn't got to you yet.
Deal.
You calm your ass down. And Kayla, what about you? Where can they find you on social media?
Facebook, Kayla Pippin. I have an Instagram, but I really don't do any music.
You don't have a music page yet, do you?
No, not yet.
You're going to. Don't worry.
You can add me on Snap. I usually post a few stuff on there.
No, don't worry. I put you on mine. You're doing a lot of weirdos.
Yeah.
To add you. But thank both of y'all for coming.
Josh, thanks for having
this
us.
This won't be the last time we have y'all in here. Y'all,
I hope not.
Y'all part of the Raising Grace family now, and thank both of y'all.
Thank you.
And thank y'all for listening to Politics, Religion, and Whiskey, the Josh Terry Podcast. Catch you next time.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.